The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel we have today is probably one of the most popularly chosen Gospels for funerals. And I always kind of wondered why, but the temptation is to just give like a homily like you've always given at a funeral, right? But as I was looking at this text this week, I recognize it has three distinct parts. The first one, we get a glimpse into what it's like when Jesus prays to the Father. "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you've revealed them to the little ones." Then things change because he starts to talk to the people who are there with him, but in such a way as that both he and the Father are in the third person. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." And then in the next part of this gospel passage, Jesus is speaking directly to the people, "Come to me, you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Well, I was intrigued by what the first part says. It says, "Although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned." So I decided I didn't really know where this comes in the Gospel of Matthew. So I went to see what Jesus was saying directly before this passage that we hear today, and I was a little surprised. What is revealed to the little ones and not to the wise and learned is where Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have long ago repented in sackcloth and ashes, but I tell you it will be more tolerable for them on the day of judgment than for you." And then he says, "As for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would remain to this day." These things. This is the reality of God's real presence with them, right? The little ones are recognizing who Jesus is, but the ones who are important in the world, the wise and the learned, they don't. And then in that last part, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened." I think if we looked at life through Jesus' eyes, we would not see our suffering as suffering. I mean, if it's suffering, not suffering for suffering's sake. But he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And his suffering is not suffering, it's fulfillment and contentment, because he's fulfilling what his Father has asked him to do. He's saying to us, it says, "It looks hard, but with my love, it is not." Even crucifixion for Jesus, though not happy in any sense of the word, is joy because it is overwhelmed with the love he has for the Father and the Father has for him. But today I want to focus more on the middle words. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Father except me and anyone to whom I wish to reveal him." Well, so who is it that Jesus wishes to reveal the Father? Is it just the people who are paying attention? Is it just the people who are faithful and do everything they're supposed to do? Is it just Catholics, maybe? Or even would we say it's just Christians? No, it's pretty clear from the messages of Jesus that he's speaking about all nations. No one knows the Father except me and anyone to whom I wish to reveal him. Scripture offers an eschatological vision. Now that means a vision of the end times, right? The fulfillment of all things. Scripture offers a vision in which God's holiness ultimately permeates all of space and time. The holiness of God that dwells within Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament, will expand outward to the ordinary world beyond. This path is stated by God from the very beginning, originating in his call of Abram in Genesis. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And echoed all through the prophetic literature. The prophet Isaiah imagines a day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea, and declares that I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Zechariah envisions a day on which the most mundane objects will be just as holy as the temple in Jerusalem. In the narrative of the Hebrew Scriptures, Israel's guarded holiness coexists with this vision that one day God's presence will flow far beyond any prescribed boundaries or parameters. The tension between Israel's divinely commanded separation from the world and Israel's vocation to bring God's holiness to the ends of the earth finds its resolution in the life and work of Jesus. In Christ, holiness overpowers the sources of sinfulness. Abundant life overpowers the forces of death. In the kingdom of God, there is no distinction between what is secular and what is sacred. The boundary is removed. It's like the moment Jesus dies on the cross, remember what happens? The boundary is removed. Literally, the curtain in the temple, which was made out of iron, was torn in half from top to bottom so that people could now have access to the Holy of Holies in the temple. It wasn't to leave it unguarded. It was to give access to everyone to that presence of God. Jesus establishes the way forward. Go and baptize all nations, he says. Take my presence in you, the presence of God, into every corner of the earth, to every heart in need. Save the people from themselves. It is God's presence that matters. Here is where I think about the gospel that we heard last Friday, because Jesus called Matthew, the tax collector, to follow him, and ultimately he becomes the apostle and the writer of the gospel. Jesus goes to his house and has dinner. And the Pharisees see this, and they remark to Jesus' disciples, "Your teacher eats with sinners and tax collectors." If we simply label people as sinners, we give ourselves license to avoid them and to dismiss them as less than human beings. They don't deserve the presence of God in their midst like we do. In truth, Jesus the rabbi should not have been there. He was taking risk of what was seen as ritual impurity due to exposure with immoral people. But this is exactly where Jesus must go. Thanks be to God that he doesn't wait until we are perfect for his visitation and invitation to join him at this table where we can watch him and learn and listen to his words and remember. He wants to be here with us tax collectors and sinners, not so that we feel good about being tax collectors or sinners, but because he knows that in our encounter with him, we cannot not be changed. In his humanity, charged with God's presence, we can see firsthand what is possible in us. To all the nations, you and I become that presence to take it, to go out to all the places, as Pope Francis says, in the peripheries, where he needs to go, to the forgotten and rejected, the abused and the desperate. If we don't go into that middle space, Jesus will not be there to heal and draw together all his people to himself. to bring us back to the Father. I once had a seminary professor who asked this question: what if, after spending your entire life focusing on your own spiritual perfection and working toward your own salvation, found yourself finally in heaven and nobody else was there? Are we not meant in God's will to all be there? And if so, what have you done about others lately? No one knows the Father except me and anyone to whom I wish to reveal him. Come to me, he says, take my yoke and learn from me. Let us together be God's loving presence for all the world.